Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Tolstoy said that faith is the force of life. My next guest, Pamay Bassey, decided to devote a year of her life to defining that force for herself, visiting a new place of worship each week. By the end of her spiritual journey, the self-described entrepreneur, educator, and comedian had visited 61 churches, mosques, temples, even Wiccan covens throughout the United States, Mexico, the United Kingdom, Nigeria, and South Africa. Pamay Bassey, author of My 52 Weeks of Worship, Lessons from a Global Spiritual Interfaith Journey. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. It's so good to be here on the call with you.
And I gather that the idea for this project stemmed from grief. In 2009, you experienced what you call the holy triumvirate of personal pain. Tell us very briefly what happened that year and how it shaped this journey for you.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. It was a grief journey for me in 2009. I lost my father. He had a long illness and died of cancer. I also lost my grandmother, who died unexpectedly while my father was battling his illness. And finally, the third piece of that was that I ended a relationship that had gone on for 4 years and I thought would, you know, end in marriage and children and ended. And so at the end of the year, I was tired, emotionally bereft. I just really wanted to say, well, how am I going to walk through this pain and heal from this grief? And my answer was to go on a spiritual journey. And I made that commitment every year, every week, to be in a different place of worship, no matter what the religious tradition. Ended up kind of seeing how faith played out in a number of different places, and it was a fantastic experience.
So here you went to 61 houses of worship in 52 weeks, and you've said that people often ask you, what can you find out about a faith tradition from going to just one service? And your response is that your intent was to find out less about dogma and more about how a community makes the connection to the divine. Do you find that there are different styles of that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. In 1 to 3 hours or 4 hours in some situations, it's hard to kind of find out the exact, you know, religious foundations of a specific community of faith. But you certainly can see how people celebrate their victories, how they gather together to support each other through their pain, how they raise their children, how they raise themselves, how they celebrate. And so those are some of the things I was able to kind of sit in and experience on a weekly basis. And I thought that was very, I mean, it was wonderful. It was really inspiring and instructive.
So let's take as an example your visit on week 10. You're Christian, and it wasn't until week 10 that you visited a non-Christian place of worship. It was Savior's Day for the Nation of Islam, and that's an all-day event celebrating the birthday of the founder of the Nation of Islam. Tell us about that experience.
Sure. It was, you know, I live in Chicago, and so, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam is quite a presence here in Chicago. I had never heard him speak. I had never been to the Nation. I'd never been to the Mosque Mariam down on the south side of Chicago. And so it was kind of my idea was, you know, I should experience that. And I went there, and it was all-encompassing. I didn't realize it was going to be a day-long event. Farrakhan spoke for 4 hours, and it really gave me a chance to say, you know what, this is going to be a journey that's going to transcend just my religious background, which is, you know, I was raised Christian. I had never been to a mosque. I had never experienced Islam or the Nation of Islam. And so it opened up the journey for me and enabled me to see kind of how a different worship tradition honored someone in their community that they thought was worthy of honor.
What was that like for you? I mean, we hear Farrakhan and most people think, hardcore nationalism.
Right, and I talk about in the book, about half the time I thought, well, wow, this is really fantastic, and half the time I was confused, because I think that there's so much backstory, there's so much history in the Nation, there were so many things that Farrakhan were speaking about that I just didn't know anything about. But also, one of the things that it uncovered for me was kind of the interplay between culture and worship. It was a majority African-American gathering, if you will. It was at the United Center, so it's kind of hard to say that it was a congregation. Mm-hmm. On the United Center is where the Chicago Bulls play, et cetera. But I was able to see the interplay between culture and religion, and also how there were kind of moments where, you know, a pastor would come up, they were scripture from the Christian tradition, and how there was interplay between kind of Islam and Christianity and different worship traditions. So it was really kind of a very interesting kind of cornucopia of different religious experiences all in one, and a good foundation for me as I went forward and said, you know what, I want to make sure that this 52 weeks includes more than just Christianity, more than just Islam. I want to go forward and experience Hinduism, Judaism. I want to open up the, you know, kind of the window and see how different communities of worship experience their faith.
Listeners, we'll get to some of your calls in just a minute. What did you take away from being at different places of worship? What led you to experience more than one faith tradition? Was it family members? Were you just curious? Have you learned about how different communities make a connection to the divine or to each other, for that matter, through religion? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Let's just take one more example from you, Pamay, and my guest is Pamay Bassey, who has written a book called My 52 Weeks of Worship, Lessons from a Global Spiritual Interfaith Journey. And you spend time thinking about the interplay between culture and religion, which you just referenced in the Nation of Islam case, and you often wonder whether the two can actually exist independently and of each other. I think another example of this for you was the Fog for Life Center, where the pastor starred in what they called Christian hip-hop music videos that incorporated a Bentley, pictures of designer clothing labels, and bling.
Certainly that was memorable, and it was at the very beginning of my journey, and so it was kind of the first church that I went to that I had no real connection to, and it was entertaining. I mean, certainly there was, urban culture, pop culture aspect to it, and the pastor was very comfortable kind of having the sermon be kind of like a music video. But it was a new church, and people were very enthusiastic, and I felt like, you know what, I probably wouldn't come here week after week and be fed spiritually, but certainly different people are fed in different ways, and if he's reaching people through kind of this more MTV, BET type approach, then who am I to say that it's not valid? So it certainly was a good kickoff, if you will, to the 52 weeks.
Let's hear a listener's experience. Olivia in Westfield. You're on WNYC. Hi, Olivia.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
You bet.
You always have a great show, so thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I wanted to just say that I was brought up conservative Jewish in Westfield, and I have an awesome congregation, but, you know, my mom also put in bits of Hinduism into my life, and I always grew up with Hanuman and Bhagavad Gita and Ganesh and all these different deities, but I also went to church on Christmas Eve and on New Year's Eve. I loved the love. I loved the love that I felt, and I loved the community that I felt. I've never been satisfied with one religion. I don't think you can. I mean, I think religion is a community. It's not just about God. It's about the people who are interpreting what God is supposedly saying.
So you get a different sense of community from your Jewish synagogue than your Hindu temple or the Christian churches that you go to? A different sense of community?
Oh, absolutely. I don't have a Hindu temple or a Christian place that I go to worship. I mostly worship in temples just because that's what I was brought up with, but in Jewish temple. But I have to say, when I go to kirtans, I go see Krishnadas, and, you know, it's a little bit freer, but also it's more of a conversation about God and about our community. And then it depends on where you go, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do feel a different sense of community.
Olivia, thank you very much. How about for you, Pamay? Do you come to a conclusion about broad sort of, top-line differences between the Jewish and the Christian and the Muslim, and for that matter, the Hindu and the Buddhist experiences that you have?
I mean, I think there are obviously a lot of similarities, but one of the things that the caller mentioned that I agree with it is about community. It's about faith and family and how we do things, if you will. And there were certain times, like when I went to the Zoroastrians in Chicago or outside of Chicago, where I was there for a festival, and I saw a father and a child, and it was clear the father was instructing the child, this is how this festival goes, this is how this how we do this. And so, you know, a lot of the different religions have, you know, similarities in terms of kind of this is how, this is, you know, what our moral core is about. This is how we walk through life. But there are definitely different feelings, different approaches to how, you know, community plays out in these different places. And it was really instructive and I mean, really humbling to be in those places and be able to be a part of that, to be a visitor in that space, even for just a few hours every week for me.
Mike on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi, folks. How are you today?
All right.
You know, I was raised in the Midwest. I'm Catholic and was an altar boy 6 years, the whole going my way thing. And I was always raised to believe that Catholicism was the standard of religion. That's what they told us. But then when I was about 18, a friend of mine said, why don't you come to me to the Baptist church? And they were speaking in tongues and they had immersion, baptisms and all that. And I'm so glad I went when I was a young man, because it opened my eyes to see that everybody's religion has merit if it helped them in their lives.
Thank you very much. Here's a question from our website, Pame. John writes, I would like to attempt something like this. A few pointers as to what customs and politenesses to use when doing so. For example, at a Jewish synagogue, strangers wear a white yarmulke. What about for a visit to a mosque? Any places that require pre-approval?
That's a great question, because I made sure before I went somewhere, I phoned ahead for that reason entirely, because even in one worship community, the rules are different. There were some synagogues that I went to that I had to cover my head. There were some where they said, you know what, no, just come as you are, because they knew that I was not Jewish. I was not, you know, part of that community, and so they said no problem. But I felt more comfortable calling ahead and talking to the imam or the pastor or the worship leader and saying, do I need to take off my shoes when I come in? Do I need to bring something to cover my head? Do I need to sit in a specific place, because some places had women sitting in one area and men in the other. And when I got there, I tried to blend in. I did not, you know, announce myself, hello, the visitor is here to experience a new place of worship, but certainly calling ahead and talking to someone and asking kind of what are the, you know, what should I expect when I get there will make you feel more comfortable when you go in. I even went so far when I visited a mosque on the north side of Chicago to YouTube and see, well, how is the service go? What is the order? How does the prayer service go? So doing a little bit of research up front and talking to someone who knows kind of the flow and the cadence can make you feel more comfortable as you go to a new place that you don't know anything about.
Here's somebody who it looks like has had a very interesting, diverse religious life. This is Father Paul Mayer in East Orange, New Jersey. Father, thank you for calling in, and I have to warn you, because the show's going to end soon, that we have about a minute for you, I'm sorry to say.
Wow. Hey, Brian.
Hi.
Yeah, well, I'm Jewish. I was a Holocaust refugee as a child, and then at 16 I drove my parents crazy, became a Catholic, and then at 18 I became a monk, a Benedictine monk for 18 years, and did very active. And anyway, then I was married for a while, but I've also studied with a DNA medicine man out in New Mexico.
And what is very beautiful because
I do believe that God has many faces and speaks to us in many voices, and each one opens up a new mysterious dimension. So I've just written my memoirs about it, and my life has been very blessed in that regard. And most recently, I've been active with a group called Occupy Catholic, believe it or not. We've been vigiling on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral, trying to get the American bishops to open up more to the issue of freedom. And
there we have to leave it, Father Paul Mayer. And for your last thought, Pame Bassi, now that you've been a spiritual tourist, or maybe more accurately, traveler, how has it affected your own practice permanently?
Well, you know, it definitely has made me want to be more authentic in my connection. I call myself a practitioner of a certain worship tradition that I want to be able to say that with some sort of intensity. But I mean, I feel like the journey is worth it. There are so many people out there who are welcoming to you if you want to learn something about a different place of worship. And even if you don't have any intention of changing your core values, that you can believe something strongly and stand shoulder to shoulder with someone else who believes something else. So it's worth it to go out there and learn what is out there to be learned and to glean wisdom from wherever it may be.
Pame Bassi visited 61 churches, mosques, temples, and other houses of worship in 52 weeks, and has written My 52 Weeks of Worship, Lessons from a Global Spiritual Interfaith Journey. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday.